fun this morning?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Good that you're here and talk. You know, we're supposed to have fun in church, right?
Yeah.
God wants us to do that in His name. In the bulletin and on the screen this morning, it shows Bible study at 6 o'clock this Wednesday. We are going to move it to 5 o'clock. The choir's going to be practicing at 6, so we're just going to move it up to 5 o'clock. So if you want to come to Bible study, we're studying the characters of the Bible, which is very interesting. So we started with Adam on this past Wednesday. We're moving on to Eve and others like that, the characters of the Bible and their lives. So as we study them, we realize they went through things that we go through in our day and time. Well, we won't go there, but we can all be at blame, can't we? Because in the sight of God, we're all sinners, come short of His glory. So, but thank you, Ed. And we'll pray for you, Ed. Because today you may not get lunch. Okay. Well, you may have. You call us if you need us. Today I will continue in the book of James. And since this is Thanksgiving, well, I got to stay over here. My mic is not working this morning. This one is, but that my other one wasn't. Anyway, we're looking at James. We're just looking at one verse this morning, verse 12 of James chapter 1. And it begins with blessed. And we were singing sacrifices of the Lord a few minutes ago. And we make sacrifices each day of our life. And we know that people who in law enforcement, those in government, military, do likewise. But we know that God made the ultimate sacrifice when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And there's always testing in your faith, testing. And then when you triumph through it, and you get through it, and you know that God was the reason you did, and we must give Him the credit, then we can say, thank you, Lord. So each day we need to be thanking the Lord. And today we're going to be looking at this one verse. And it tells us, you know, that if we endure, persevere through that, we have the crown of life. And all of us, you know, we can have that crown now. And the ultimate crown when Christ, we see Him face to face. So if you will, turn your Bibles to James chapter 1 and verse 12, or look at the screen up there as I read it. Blessed, or you could look at that word as happy or joyful, is the man who perseveres or endures. There's another word for that, depending on your translation that you have. So persevere or endures under trial, for once he has been approved or perfected or completed in your life, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised. So he has promised, and that promise is eternally. The crown of life is eternal to those who love Him. And I don't know if you've ever seen that word or recognized that last word, not the next to the last word, love, and I'll talk about that briefly towards the end of the message. So sometimes we overlook that word love. So, but this morning, looking at this verse, verse 12, I look at it as an encouraging conclusion to the discussion about trials which begun back in verse 2 a couple Sundays ago as we looked at that. And James closes this section on times of testing. How many of you have testing in life? Okay, I know our students have tests. Our college students have tests. And you've got to study for those, right? But some of these things you don't have to study for. You just go through them, right? And that's on a daily basis, sometimes the physical, emotional, and spiritual, and so forth. God is not in the business of tempting you. He doesn't tempt. The Bible says he doesn't tempt you, but allows testing in our life to see what we're made of, see how strong we are in our faith, how we really will trust him in all the circumstances and situations in life. And James says there will be testing, and it will test your faith. So if your faith is strong, then you will endure, as the scripture says here. So, looking at this morning, you know, it doesn't matter if a man is rich or he's poor. If he wants to receive the promised blessing, he needs to remain faithful and has endurance will remain and will bring triumph in your life. So God rewards those who remain faithful under trial. And this morning we're going to be looking at threefold reasons for this. Now, the first one is possessing inner blessedness. And it started out with blessed, okay? And that's what we want to look at. And though having trials may not seem a blessing, do you, when you go through a trial or a hardship or something, you say, I'm being blessed? It might not seem like a blessing. But James says, blessed is a man who endures, okay? So let's look at this verse again. I want to kind of break it down, analyze it, paraphrase it here a little bit. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Now, temptation is something that, you know, you're tempting with. As Ed brought up a few minutes ago, right? Eve was tempted, and she didn't bear up under that temptation. She gave into it, as we do sometimes, right? We don't always bear or stand up to temptation. Sometimes we let our guard down. Is that at our weakest point? And Satan knows when our weakest point is in any time, any day of our life, any week, any year. He knows when we're the weakest, and that's when he hit us the hardest. So we need to understand, but blessed is those who endure temptations, because after having become genuine, and I throw that word in, he will receive the crown of life which he has promised to those loving him or to love him. So, God blesses someone who perseveres or endures under trial. That's what James is saying here. When you look at that word blessed, it means fortunate. Fortunate. Okay? You've heard this word before. And it speaks of an inner quality of joy. Now, our joy, the Bible says, comes from the Lord. And if you don't have joy, then you're not allowing God to show you what the abundant life is all about. And our joy comes from the Lord. So it's the quality of life. Joy is the inner quality of life. A contentment in God, not affected by, now I would say, the outward circumstances in our life. And so we all have circumstances in our life. We have to encounter those, or we do encounter those on a daily basis, and that's how we deal with those. So, in fact, here in the New Testament, it often uses that word to describe those who, as far as outward circumstances, are concern appear not to be fortunate at such, you know, as the poor, or as the hungry, or the persecuted, or even those that they call martyrs. You know, you wouldn't look at it that way. But when we look at the word blessed, this blessing is a joy that the world cannot take from you. When God gives you something, it says He promised. And the world can't take that away from you, no matter what your circumstances may be. So it is joy that resides in the depths of the inner depths of your heart. That's where the joy really comes from. So joy is, think about this. Joy is a matter of choice. And that choice, and the joy comes from the Lord. So if you don't have joy, then you don't know it from the standpoint of knowing the Lord, because He is the one that gives the joys. And we got to make a choice. I'm going to have joy. When you get up in the morning, you got to decide. It's an attitude check, right? Attitude check. Yes, I had a good night's rest. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to have joy today in my life. That's what we need to do, and be thankful for it. So you always allow yourself to be miserable in life, or you can choose to face the challenges of life with joy. And that's what James is talking about here. So our joy flows from a personal connection with the Savior of the world. And that joy, our life, is in the life of Christ. So the happiness of a believer flows out of the faithfulness of following Christ. And James, oh, he makes it so clear here. You know, as you read James, you know, Steve gave you a challenge to read Luke beginning December the 1st, right? All the way through Christmas Eve. I give you a challenge to read James here, the book of James. There's only six chapters. You can do that in within an hour. But James is so full of instructions and important things that we deal with on a daily basis, that if we read it and try to discern what James is saying with the leadership of the Holy Spirit, then the first chapter will understand that, you know, our joy, no matter our circumstances or whatever, come from the Lord. So again, James explains that a man is blessed who steadfastly endures or perseveres through trials, temptation. And when we do that, then James says we have stood the test. We have stood the test. So the ideal of this right here, I'm thinking in my own life, the ideal here is faithfulness, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? From Galatians chapter 5, start reading around verse 22 through 23, it is one of the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness is. So God wants us to bring us to the place where we patiently wait upon Him. As Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait upon the Lord, you know, will mount up like wings of eagle. So we need the patience, and God will give those to us, and He'll work that out in our lives. See, He wants to develop within us patient assurance that He is at work, and He does His deepest and best work in our trials or in our hardship. That's when our faith really stands up, and that's when He instructs us about that endurance and that perseverance in our life. So that's possessing the inner blessedness, as James is talking about right here. Then he moves on in the latter part, or the I say B part of this verse, to becoming genuine in your life or in your faith. Here, the second part, verse 12 says, "The man who endures the trials of life also brings the reward of genuineness as," and going back to the first part of verse 12, "blessed is the man who endures temptation." And then, paraphrase of this, "because after having become genuine as he endures or perseveres through temptation or through his trials." And that's why James said, "You are blessed." And then we say what? "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me." So, after the proof is victoriously demonstrated, after one is proven, he is, James says, approved. Paul talks about that in his epistles as well, as we read and study the scriptures, and talking about how that we can be approved. He that is able to rightly divide the word of truth, and if he lives that truth, then he is approved in his life that he is worthy. So, the word translated approved, or another word for that, I believe it's in the KJV, is tried, T-R-I-E-D, tried, was used of metal and coins which had been tested and found true or genuine in the material and in the work of it. So here we is the outcome of the enduring and in the force of trials in our life, becoming a genuine believer. That means a true believer. Those who stand firm or stand within the will of God. So one approved of God. That's what it means here. So God approval of our faith, God's approval of my faith is precious. And Peter talks about that precious faith that we have through trials and temptations, because it assures us that our little faith is what he calls genuine faith. It's like a gold prospector who brings a sample of his ore into the seer's office to be tested. He finds, he thinks, a gold mine. So he brings what he has to the seer to be tested. And when he does it, the sample itself may not be worth more than maybe, I say, a few dollars. But, and here's the part of that. The approval of the official statement about mine, the ore, came from its worth, and it could be worth millions, if you look at it that way, as it is approved. So, it assures the prospector that he has a gold mine. Now, God's approval of our faith is precious because it assures us that we have genuine faith. That's the comparison here. See, God often used the natural things of life to prove the heavenly meaning that he wants us to get from the Word of God. And this is one way that we can look at it. So, now God samples the worth of our faith through what? A few minutes ago. And James says, the trials of life. And we all go through that. So, if we persevere in faithfulness to him, his word, it proves our faithfulness is authentic, genuine, and more precious than gold. Peter says that as well. So, trial brings blessing because they prove our faith is genuine. And God blesses our faith when we trust him through our trials. Now, looking at the latter part of this verse right here, receiving the crown of life. Everybody likes to receive some type of reward of achievement. It makes you feel good, right? It makes it, hey, it was worth this. I put a lot of hard sweat work in this, and you get a reward. You see it all the time in schools and military and different areas of life. We see rewards, but there's nothing better than to receive the crown of life. And as we look at the conclusion of verse 12, it's becoming genuine, having stood the test, is what James is saying. So here again, he says, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And there is a great reward for persevering in faith through the test of life. There's a great, great reward. And that reward is the crown of life. And the crown of life is to be interpreted as a crown which consists in life. That is the crown of life that's even mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. And we all are working towards that goal. Even Paul talks about that whoever endures to the end, who does not give up, he keeps on working and striving, and through perseverance and testing and hardships in life. And Paul said, I'm ready to receive that crown of life, because he knew that his time was coming near to an end. And he said, not only this crown am I going to receive, but to anyone, and even Paul says, that loves the Lord. So the life is promised to those who love him. It is the enabling to hold the life and live as God would have you to live. So it's being able to enjoy God's abundant life daily, no matter what the outward circumstances are. So the greatest reward for those who faithfully endure is the reward for those who will endure. I don't know how many of you have probably been out on the coast of California or a lot of areas where certain trees and things grow. But as I was thinking about this particular text this morning, it reminded me of a garland twisted cypress that grows on the coast of California. And it may grow in other areas, but I know it does in the coastal part of Florida. California. And it is the most photographed tree in America, and it stands on a rocky Pacific. It's called the 17-mile drive near Carmel, California. And it is the garland twisted cypress growing out of what appears to be just a solid rock. And you can see it right there. That's a true picture of it right there. And it looks like it's just growing right out of the rock. It's kind of like going to Greensburg and seeing a tree growing out of the top of the courthouse up there. Now, how does it do that? Bird, okay. But isn't it amazing that things will grow where you think there's no soil, there's nothing that would nourish it or anything, but yet there's the proof right there. And as we look at that, growing out of the, appears to be a solid rock, the winds have blown it, its branches back and forth from the sea, until they have permanently shaped this Melusia hair, though not deadly. But men have painted pictures of this tree and have captured the art in several ways. And the effect of the famous artist entitled simply, Strength to Endure. And see, in comparison to our life, in the spiritual life, in the physical life, in the emotional life, that is how we are in Christ. Through the winds and the storms of life, No matter how we are twisted or shaped, we can stand strong, the strength to endure. God gives that strength to endure. Now, it contributes to that strength to all who see it. And what is waiting for us when we have endured to the end, when we have faced that great leveler, we shall receive, and that's what James is talking about here, the crown of life. The crown of life. And one of these days, Christ will be just placing that on our head, or giving us that crown of life, and that's eternal life. You know, we might think it is the crown that we're going to be wearing, but that crown is a symbolic of the life, the abundant life, that we not only will have, we can live that abundant life right now, according to James. So in the last part of verse 12, and I was talking about that word a while ago, it's a very important word, and it's love. We would expect him to write the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that trust him or obey him. So why did James use love right here? Because love is a spiritual motivation for every one of us to stand the test of the trials in life. And knowing that God loved us so much that he went to the cross and died for our sin. So if we have that great love that Christ had for us, no matter what the circumstances in this life will be, we will stand the test. We will endure. We will persevere through all of life's trial. Because in the end, it's going to be worth it. Amen? In the end, it will be worth it. And that's what James is saying. Those who love him, truly love him from the heart, and it's a choice. Joy is a choice. Loving is a choice. Being in love, not just that loving sense, but being in love is what James is saying. If we are truly in love with the Lord, we will understand what the abundant life can be for the Christian. So, as we look at our trials in life, in the conclusion, going all the way back up to verse 2 and reading through verse 12, were written to give encouragement. See, that's the key right there, encouragement. Kind of like Barnabas. He was an encourager. To face the affliction and trials of life. So, when we look at that, encouragement to patient endurance, encouragement to believe that trials can be turned to our good, and they are. That's what James is saying. The trials are for our good, to see how our faith will endure. And then, encouragement to believe that trials can be turned into our good. And then encouragement to prayer. Encouragement to prayer. To pray. See, we're driven many times to our knees in various situations when we don't understand it, we don't have the discernment, and we know the one that does, we go to our knees in prayer. We go to the Lord in prayer, in faith. And then encouragement to joyfully accept our lot in life. And then encouragement to look hopefully to the future. And you see, that encouragement to look and hopefully into the future, you know, oftentimes we think, well, that's eternal things. That's the things that we don't see. But according to that, it means abundant life here and now. James is painting a beautiful picture to us of joy, what that really looks like through our trials and through our hardships in life. That when it comes down to it, where is our trust? It's in the Lord. Our trust is in the Lord. And when all is said and done in our life, when we face different things in life, when we see others and we pray for others and so forth, we know the Spirit of God is always at work, and He is going to bring the best out. He knows the end, He knows the future, He knows the now, and all we got to do is just trust Him, no matter what. No matter what. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise You, we thank You this morning for Your unconditional love. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us. And Lord, You love our faithfulness in return. Lord, You work in so many different ways in our lives. And Lord, You work in a way that we can recognize it. You work through the Spirit. You work through others. You work through circumstances, as James says, through the testing of our life. And You care. You have compassion. And Lord, I thank You this morning that we can come to You. We can come to You on an individual basis. We can come to You as a corporate, as a body of Christ. But You hear us on the level of the oneness when we come to You one-on-one. And we thank You for the fellowship and support of many who come to You together, praying for one or two or three things. And Lord, You hear us. And You tell us whatever we ask in Your name, You will do it. But we must be remindful that it must be within Your will. As Jesus always prayed, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. Because You know what Your purpose is for everything. Our lives has meaning and purpose. And one person has, you work through one person in bringing things about that we have no comprehension of until we see it face to face. Lord, may we always trust You with our life, and may we trust You no matter what. And that's all it takes when You call us to salvation. If there's anyone here that doesn't know You personally as our Lord and Savior, Lord, today, may they walk down this aisle and accept Your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. If someone is looking for a church home, Lord, we thank You for Versailles Baptist Church and our fellowship that we have here, the loving, caring fellowship that we have. Lord, You're always calling people into service of some sort, some area of ministry. And may that person You may be calling today answer that call. You call and your Spirit works in so many different areas of life. All we got to do is respond, make ourselves available. Lord, this is Your invitation, and may we allow Your Holy Spirit to just move in a mighty, mighty way this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our hymn invitation this morning is Spirit of the Living God. May we stand.